Well, good afternoon, sisters and brothers. Here we are on the Day of Atonement, here with our empty stomachs and our dry mouths. But cheer up. We have it all pretty good here, don't we? Things could be a lot worse than they are, as a lot of people have found. Just imagine what a few of our brethren are still going through in the area of Houston and the Gulf Coast. And these brethren, nearly everyone in Puerto Rico as well, may think that there's something rather devilish that they've gone through about what they've suffered and what they're still suffering. And yes, it all does seem rather devilish. Question: does Satan, or can Satan, stir up storms or other so-called natural disasters? Any biblical evidence that Satan does cause some storms is rather limited. Still, it may well be that Satan does actually create some physical calamities. And that's my main subject today. If you'd like a title for your notes or whatever, I call it The Prince of the Air. Satan has one major part in the meaning of the Day of Atonement. Here I'll focus on just one area of Satan's powers, an area that's perhaps somewhat obscure to us. To begin, let's recall a little bit about Satan's origin. Originally, Satan had been named Lucifer, as we understand, and was one of three God's archangels. But he rebelled out of vanity and tried to supersede the God of heaven. Lucifer, Satan, was defeated and was cast down to earth together with his army of demons, or fallen angels, the fallen third of them. For a reference there, you could jot down Revelation 12, verses 7 through 9. So Satan then became God's adversary with that name, way back before mankind was created. And Paul later called Satan the god of this world in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. He said he has blinded the world's societies to God's truth. He opposes the truth and deceives the people of all nations after spiritually blinding them. Satan is also referred to as a powerful prince in Ephesians 2 and verse 2. Which I'll just quote in part as it relates. Paul says, "You," writing to brethren, "formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." And the English word air comes directly from that Greek word that's used in that verse. That was Ephesians 2:2. We tend to visualize Satan's power of the air in a broadcasting kind of analogy, like he's sending out waves that enter people's minds and disseminate false concepts and religions into the world's societies. And we know that he injects evil attitudes into the minds and emotions of people. And thus we have a sense of that spiritual, invisible, non-physical power over minds that Satan wields. But is Satan's power limited to just the spiritual realm in thoughts and attitudes? Perhaps less known, Satan the dragon wields a great deal of physical powers also. In earthly terms, and he is destructive. We see a glimpse of this in the book of Job, especially in chapter 1. If you'd be turning there, we'll be looking at several verses there in Job 1. The Bible doesn't dwell much on Satan's powers in the earthly matters of force, mass, and physical or chemical energy, including fire, which is a form of chemical energy. Still, as limited as this biblical evidence is, let's consider it. The topic is appropriate for this high day, which alludes to Satan's role in the earth now. So let's begin reading at Job 1, starting at verse 7. You recall the scene around God's throne here, if you've read Job, where there's an assembly of all the angels together with God, and somehow Satan appears there among them, whether he is invited or not. And in chapter 1, verse 7 of Job, the Eternal, the Lord, said to Satan, "From where do you come?" And then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From roaming about on the earth and walking around on it," because he had been banished there, and he knew he had the latitude, or God knew he had the latitude to be there. And note, Satan is free to roam the earth, and he says that with kind of a flippant attitude. Then, in Job 1, verse 8, the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God and turning away from evil." Satan didn't catch him yet. Satan shot back in effect, and I'm paraphrasing, "Well, Job only does that because there's something in it for him. Look at all he's getting." In verse 10, "Have you not made a hedge, set a buffer, a free space around him and his household and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land." See, he's being paid off for his closeness. Then Satan challenges God in verse 11, and to paraphrase that, "But reach out now and take away all that he has, and he will surely curse you, God, to your face." After this challenge, if we read further, we might have assumed in other parts of Job that God did what then follows. An insurance company would also say that these are what they call acts of God. In other words, they're great misfortunes beyond ordinary causes. But let's look further now at verse 12. Job 1:12. "Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, all that he has,'" he's speaking of Job, "'all that Job has is in your power.'" It's in Satan's power. "Only do not put forth your hand on him." That's not on Job personally. So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord. In verses 13 to 19, then Satan took up the challenge, the goal of shocking Job out of his godly integrity. Satan threw everything he could against Job, against his many sons and daughters, and he had, I think, 13 of those together, and all his property. And Satan hurled it all, from violent bands of raiders stealing livestock, and that's in verses 15 and 17, to fire from the sky, it says, killing his sheep and field hands, wiping out his flocks. Verse 16, and a violent windstorm collapsing a house, which evidently was a fairly substantial one, killing all his sons, in verse 19. And that was enough to wipe out all of Job's wealth and offspring in one day. Now in verse 16, if you notice the words, "the fire of God fell from heaven," that's what the messenger said. He's going by his experience, a fire that comes down from heaven must be from God. So that was his assumption. I recall that all these violent acts of God were really executed by Satan. And thus, when God allows, Satan can bring physical storms and calamities. Yet for all of this, Job didn't blame God and didn't curse him. Satan lost that round. Now look at Job 2 for more evidence of Satan's powers. He can afflict a person even with physical ailments, health problems. Job 2, verse 4, Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. In other words, skin is pretty valuable, right? Yes, all that a man has, he will give for his life. However, put forth your hand now, he's talking to God, and touch or afflict his bone and his flesh, he will curse you to your face. He says that again. So the Lord said to Satan, look, he's in your power. Only spare his life. Thus, God didn't touch Job. He just told Satan how far Satan could go. Here is Satan, I skipped a verse, Job 2, verse 7. Satan went out and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. Ouch, that's miserable. Here, Satan was even able to cause severe physical illness in Job. And Satan's powers then can go beyond the awesome power of just stirring up the air. But ask the people of Puerto Rico how powerful the air can be. As we've seen, God allowed Satan to act as an unwitting agent of the Almighty to test Job's character and to refine it. And as righteous as Job was, he was unique in his time. God was not through testing and training Job yet. But that's history. That's for another time. So looking ahead now, we know from prophecy that Satan's future is foretold and is going to be greatly limited when the kingdom starts. You can find that in Revelation chapters 12 and 20, which you can look at later if you like. And since that final outcome is prophesied, it's certain, and we know of the wonderful new world to come, here's a question. Why does God still want us to fast on the Day of Atonement? It's all hope, right? One reason could be to convey the awesomeness of that time when Satan will be figuratively chained up, sealed away in an abyss, and prevented from figuratively, or literally, I should say, exercising his evil powers upon people during the 1,000 years of the millennium. So now to sum up, although scriptures show that Satan still has power to stir up monstrously powerful forces, severe winds, or even send down fire from the sky, those are rather rare accounts. And even in such events, Satan can only create havoc or disasters within the limits that God sets for him, case by case. This is another good reason for us to humble ourselves in fasting on this high day, to bring ourselves closer to God, God our Father. He is our rock, he's our shield, he's our defender, he's our defense against all of this. We do want his hedge around us like it was around Job, around us for our good, now. And even more, we need God's mind and spirit in us as we humbly seek him. So someday, the future shown in the atonement picture will become reality when Satan is then fully restrained from harming people in the millennium. But now, while we still are in the flesh, we really need our Father's good favor to keep us from the evil one. Have a good Sabbath.